any question. I can take some questions. Let me take some questions. Let me take some questions. Marriage. Marriage. Ask me a question. How to make your husband's head come correct.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Sir, may God bless you for how you have highlighted us. And the good Lord will increase your elbow in Jesus' name.
Amen.
So what I want to know now is, I have my mom's senior brother. He's the one that demonstrates love in the sense that if he goes to the farm now and he's sick, after a few moments, the wife also will get sick also. So when they come back home, the wife will prepare everything. They will come back in peace. They bath together. They eat together. The love is so cordial in the sense that I keep on asking, if this love starts continuing like this, it's a strong thing. So in another sense, I want to know in another form now. Nowadays, girls are no more yielding to bowing to a fellow guy or man. The same thing to a man also. Some men feel because the money is there, they can do whatever they have because the command of money. Now, how do we keep ourselves in that form so that we will live a moderate life?
I have just explained. Follow the foundation. The Bible has already told us how to live. I have no other answer to give you than from what the scripture says. Submit yourself, the sister, the brother, the wife, and the husband, you love. And when you love, you know, is expressed. You don't just love with mouth. You show it. There are women that because of the love, they know the man has for them. They don't care his financial estates. They don't care where they are living. Wherever you are, they'll chuck their head there. And they'll be there. So it's not because of what you are giving them materially, but there's nothing more precious before a woman than to know that you love her. That is what they need.
Thank you, sir.
God bless. Yes.
God bless you, sir.
God bless you, too.
I thank God because today, in fact, it's God that made me to be here.
Amen.
Because I want to, you know, come out all this why, but I can't make it. So today, I want to thank you. I never see you face to face, but God has used you mightily for me.
Amen.
I say, God bless you, sir.
God bless you too.
So my question goes like this, that I have somebody that married the time he never know God. But as time goes on, the person paid the bride price. And as time goes on, the marriage break. Somebody do charm and break the marriage. So after then, the man went now and go and marry another woman. And since then, the woman never marry another person. So for that reason, what that woman will do in that
how
woman.
Do you know it's charm? How do you know it's charm that made that man to drive her away and go and marry another one?
Yes.
How do you know it's charm?
I say somebody do charm.
To break a marriage.
To break the marriage,
and
yes.
How do you know it is charm?
Is the man, is the person that do it, come and confess it, that no. This is what he did, that we should forgive the man.
No. The only thing you can do is to let that person, everyone will make medicine, he get the counter. Let that person who came to confess go back and reverse. If he reverses, then we cannot say what in the talk not true. That man will be charmed. I don't believe it is charm. But again, are they Christians?
They are not Christians by then.
That is right now. So now the woman is a Christian.
Yes, the woman is a Christian.
And she doesn't want to marry.
Yes.
She's hoping to have her husband back.
The man have already married and have children.
And what is your question?
My question is that, what did that woman do?
That's what I'm saying. I said, is the woman still hoping that the man will come back to her?
I don't ask. I don't know.
Now, listen, church. Listen. This is very important. This is very, very important. Even though we are Christians, I want to say this very, very clearly. Even though we are Christians, if a brother and a sister that marry together in Christ, and for any reason, puts away the other one and goes and remarries another woman, for instance, and says it clearly, I don't marry you again, and demonstrates it by going to pick another wife, we are not going to use any scripture to say this other woman, the victim that's been driven away, will stay without a husband. That you have gone to join yourself with another woman has broken the vow. This one is free to go and remarry.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Okay.
Hello. There is a call coming, yes?
Okay.
Hello?
Hello? My name is Kingsley, calling from Norway.
Kingsley from Norway.
If, for example, I am married to a white woman, a white lady. We've been married now for like two years. And I left to where I married now to another country, this country in Norway. And it happens that maybe I want to come back to Nigeria and I ask her to come with me. And she refuses to come. Okay? She don't want to maybe to like or leave the airport. So is it right for me to marry another wife? Or should I sit in a apartment?
Brother Kingsley from Norway, God bless you. What is, if I understand his question, is married to a foreigner and he wants to relocate to Nigeria and the woman is saying, lie, I'm not following you to your country. First and foremost, the foundation of the relationship was faulty because right from beginning you were supposed to let her know that you are not going to stay in her country permanently. And right from the beginning, you are supposed to spell it out that part of the agreement for this relationship is that when I'll be going back to my country, you will follow me. And if she refuses later on, she's breaking the vow you took. Now you can leave her there, come back home. She cannot be there, you'll be here now. So you'll be free because she has become disobedient anyway. And also, you have to put a lot of things into consideration because sometimes, in a marriage, we should not be selfish. Now you're trying to relocate from an advanced country, a peaceful country, to a country that is full of violence and insecurity. And she has been told all manner of things through the media of the dangers. And you are sentencing her to everlasting. Amen. If I were you, I would put that into consideration. Not to be selfish, and I will leave her in that country, Norway, and keep my home in Norway, and then do whatever is the reason why I'm in Nigeria. There are a lot of families like that, even Nigerians, that have their families abroad. And from time to time, you visit her and convince her, when you come back, to show her how sweet life is, contrary to media report. She will eventually come and join you. God bless you. Yes.
Praise the Lord. I'm not married though, but while you were preaching, I was just meditating through my gift, my spiritual gift, and my mind was now going to a pastor. He's a very popular pastor now. Everybody knows him, that he has married, divorced, married, and divorced again. Married third one. So now my spirit was not like, I was just talking to myself. I was like, okay, now see this man now that has, he's a Christian or a pastor. Now he has remarried. Now, if that pastor wants to repent, what is he going to do? And definitely, the Bible says a pastor must be a husband of one wife. Will he now drop his calling?
You see, the problem is compounded by the fact that the members of his church that have made him their pastor, they are as blind as he is. They are more guilty than him. When the Bible says, what is the man teaching them? So they are not a church. They are a gathering of unbelievers. They are a social gathering. You are talking about repentance. You say if you repent, what will happen? That's between him and God. How can I answer that? So you ask God, if that man repents, what happened? Everyone that repents, God will forgive you. But what type of repentance will you do? You've destroyed, you know, marry, change rapper, like anything like that. That's some of the things that we do. Yeah. But let me quickly tell you that such a man, well, let me not conclude. May he repent.
So he's calling. That means he has to drop.
He knows. Now, he knows what he's doing is bad. He knows. He's not qualified to be a pastor. He's among those that we call false witnesses. He's a false witness of the Bible.
He's a firewood.
A false witness. He's a firewood for hellfire. Yes.
Hello?
Yes?
Hello?
Yes, God bless you. Who is calling? Gideon from Switzerland. Yes,
okay.
Hello?
Church Shalom. It's Bogidian from Switzerland. But I have a question to ask him. There is a question I want to ask. There is a pastor here, and there is a pastor here. So the man, he married a white lady. Then later on, he married her when he was an unbeliever. So later now, he now repented and became a pastor. So after some months, the girl now left her and told him that he is not going to marry again, that the marriage relationship is okay. My question goes this way. Should the pastor remain unmarried, or should he marry another girl?
God bless you, Gideon from Switzerland. I read a scripture in the course of my exhortation, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and Apostle Paul laid down, answered that question in clear terms when he said, and the woman, verse 15, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, where he said, but if the unbelieving departs, let him depart. A brother or a sister is not under bondage in such cases. The bond there is the marriage bond. Once it departs and goes, the brother is free to go and pick another wife for himself. But if he is the one that drove her away, he cannot go and pick another wife. That would be living in adultery. So let that man go and pick a wife for himself. This time, a believer, according to Apostle Paul. Thank you, Gideon, Switzerland.
Praise the Lord.
Yes.
Pastor, my question is it possible for a brother who is a believer or who is an unbeliever, is it possible for the Lord to give an unbeliever, a man, at least a good wife who is a daughter of God?
You mean, can a believer marry an unbeliever? That's your question.
The reason is because...
Now, I want to understand your question first.
My question is...
Can a believer marry an unbeliever? That's your question.
Yes.
Eh?
Number one question.
The Bible says we should not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. A believer must marry a believer and leave unbelievers to marry themselves. It is wrong for a believer to marry an unbeliever. What is written is written. Thank you.
Okay, please. Now that it has happened mistakenly.
Yes,
it's a mistake because if it has happened now, then...
You mean the person that the believer did not know that he should not marry an unbeliever? That's the mistake?
Because the sister did not know or the brother did not know that the person he's married is an unbeliever.
Oh, then he thought it's a believer.
Maybe because he needed a husband and he see one that he liked. Something like that. Then
so, I want to understand your question. That's why I'm interjecting.
The reason why I ask is because into that marriage now that went far with quantity of children, then and you decided to pray so that God will now help.
Help to do what?
At least to change a man, to make the marriage to be perfect.
After giving him several children.
Yes. Then after praying for so many years.
Prayer. It's a very good prayer. That shows that she really loves him and will not want him to go to hell. So it's a very good prayer.
But thank you. Then after so many years of prayer, and you discover that believe
he cannot change.
Hey, cannot change.
He cannot change. So what's your question?
The woman, is it right for her to leave the children and go.
Lie. Praise the Lord. Amen. See, the Bible says whatsoever you sow, that's what you reap. How can you tell her she saw something, she says she should not reap it? She must reap it, though. And let me quickly add, too, that you are not telling us any problem in that relationship. The only problem is that he's not a believer, he's not serving her God. And that is not enough. The Bible says, if the unbelieving decides he still wants to marry you, the Bible, we read it now, 1 Corinthians chapter 7. He said, you should not put him or her away. So tell her. Now you.
The reason I ask is because
you
said somewhere that...
You never answered me, are you?
Whether it's me or my neighbor, I want to get answer.
Okay.
Because of this place you said concerning marrying in deceit or marrying unbeliever, you discover so many things that you couldn't abandon the children.
No.
That is my question.
No, you cannot discover he's an unbeliever after you've given so many children. No. There is a level you go in a relationship, you go too far to turn back. Under any condition. For the sake of the children, you continue in that relationship. For you sow it. In fact, if there's anything at all, you are the one that deceived him. Because you are a believer and you can identify a believer. And he will not wait until you have given him so many children before he will show you he is an unbeliever. You will know after you have married him. Thank you. From Equatorial Guinea. Hello.
Okay. Daddy, tonight you taught us about the marriage that is built on deceit. My question is, if a man married a woman that has no womb outside the knowledge of the man, and at the later on, the man discovered that his wife has no womb, and he is the only son, did the man has right to marry another wife?
Sorry, Evangelist Moses, answer me. You didn't know, the man didn't know the woman had no womb before the marriage, or that is only God to know after the marriage that the woman had no womb. If I understand you, I can answer you from the two scenarios. One, if the woman knew her womb was removed and she didn't tell you before the marriage, that is a marriage in deceit. When later you discover the womb has been removed, she deceived you. It was a material information. It was an important information to guide your decision for that marriage. In that case, you can put her away and pick another wife for yourself. Now, but if she let you know before you enter into the marriage, you knew that that was her condition, but you still married her, lie, you can never break that marriage. Your problem is, you are the only son your parents have. I can tell you, yes, if you are Christians, nothing is impossible before God. I'm telling you, and to be a father and a mother, science has gone far now that no infertility problem or marriage, or what do you call it, barrenness problem that cannot be medically solved. There are several ways that you can now have a child. So please, all you need to do is you need proper guidance and counseling, spiritual and medical, and that marriage will have issues. God bless you from Equatorial Guinea, Evangelist Moses. Yes.
So I believe that in a proper Christian setting, that before a divorce, at least the pastors of the local church should be aware of it. Even if he may not actually be the one to endorse it. Now, negative and uncontrollable character change, like you said, is a part of marriage in deceit. We know in the Bible that even the parents can do things that will push the children into rebelliousness. Also, the character of a partner could lead to negative reaction of another partner. Now, I want to know, sir, what parameter will be used to judge that sudden negative attitudinal or character change before a divorce could be endorsed?
You already gave the answer in your first statement. When you said before a divorce takes place, the pastor must be involved. What, to what extent is he to be involved? Is to ascertain, confirm the complaint. Every, there is no, you know, no pastor will be happy to witness a divorce. And no pastor will, a true pastor will endorse a divorce. We have had cases, Pastor Thomas and I, that we have handled. After we listen as men of God, we try to settle both, settle, after hearing. When they come out finish, me and Thomas will go say, Kai, that brother they try. Me and Thomas stay with this woman, no. Kai, they try. Me and Thomas stay with this woman, no. But we won't let him hear that. We will still try everything. We were to do everything to make them manage themselves and stay together, including praying for them. Everything we will do, and every pastor will do the same thing. But when all fail, look up. We will not excommunicate him because of it. Praise the Lord. So you have to understand that before a church will endorse or tolerate any divorce and still allow them to worship in the church, they will have, you know, see, there is a brother in this church, a case we handle, that married a young girl here, and immediately after the marriage, it became clear that girl, that boy, married her for what he would get from her. Any common sense, look at the relationship everybody knew. And when the girl also discovered that after the marriage, that till I say, now what till I get? That is what they come for. Then she decided to close that area first. You be the man, not be me with the supply. Then the man came up plainly with pit shake and come up for this girl body. Beating, I mean beating. Naked and one killer. So if you're a pastor, where do you go talk? How we talk to them, we tire. Talk, tire. The next thing you hear, it don't happen again. You know, we that are pastors of a place like this, thousands of people coming, theirs also join us. We're a mixed multitude. All manner of people skip themselves and enter this church. Praise the Lord. The same thing with marriage. There are two groups. One, na agent of Satan. The other group, na 419. They will come here and look for girls that are on, especially those where they work for bank. Girls where own cars. Criminals. Praise the Lord. When that girl eventually finds out who the person is, amen. If you're a pastor, you go say, na lie, na for better for worse, Abby. So that's the problem some of us face as pastors. And you know that any advice you give, God is going to hold you accountable for it. Okay, so before any divorce takes place, we must be involved. If not, you will never be identified. We will drive you far from the church. You will never come near here again. Yes.
I have another question.
Okay.
If after a divorce, and one of them goes into marriage with another person, is it possible if they have reason to come back again?
Which come back to where? Open Deuteronomy chapter 24.
I have not finished my question, sir. I know of that scripture. There's something I want to ask.
You know about the scripture. So what's your question?
The question now is, what is the stand of grace concerning that particular scripture? Because I've come across that scripture. That's why I'm asking the question.
You see, when you talk about grace, Apostle Paul made a statement So shall we continue in sin that grace might abound? He said, God forbid. And you don't talk of grace to people who are outside grace. They are not under grace. People who are under grace, they live like people who are under grace. Grace, it is a mistake you make. You make mistakes. And it is not a mistake when it is planned and executed. Those who are under grace, those who experience grace, they also give grace. You don't treat a human being like some piece of furniture in your house where you can use and dump after some time, change again, say, yeah, come back. That person is not in grace. So I want you to understand that. Thank you. Bless you. Can we hear you?
Please, I want to learn how to change my husband because his character is somehow like...
Yes.
Like, yes, he doesn't pray with us.
He doesn't pray.
He doesn't go to church.
Doesn't go to church.
And when you try to tell him the things that are in the Bible, he tell you that Oyibo people that wrote the Bible, they have left the Bible for us. We are now teaching them how to be a Christian. So like yesterday, we finished praying yesterday morning. So he was coming to our room. I told him, Daddy, God bless you. He told me that I'm already blessed. Keep your blessing to yourself. I said, Daddy, why are you talking like this now? I started shouting at him. He said, they see you. You don't know that God too is annoyed with you. Look at the way you are shouting at me. Because I told you to keep your blessing to yourself. Don't you know that God too is annoyed with you? Or maybe sometimes you tell him, Dad, please, I want to go for prayers. He tell you, don't go to any other church. You have to go to Anglican church. That is my family church. I don't know how to follow that kind of person or change it. But sometimes he just like to keep the fire of God in you. I don't know how to...
The only problem you have is his faith. He does not serve God the way you will want him to serve. But he takes care of you. He loves you, isn't it? Answer me.
He's trying.
He's trying. Hallelujah. The truth is, when it comes to salvation, it is God's own business. What you do is to keep praying for him. Keep praying for him. And this is the way that Apostle Peter spoke to the women. 1 Peter chapter 3. The women with your type of problem said, likewise from verse 1, likewise you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won. Won to who? Won to Christ. By the conversation of the wives, that is by your lifestyle. While they, the unbelieving husbands, behold your chaste lifestyle, conversation, coupled with fear. You see? What he's trying to say, if you read on down, is that man, you can see that he's been following your character. And he will use what your faith is expected to produce. Anytime you fall short of that expectation, he will use it against you. Now he was checking you. Just because you say, God bless you, he said, keep your blessing to yourself. You fled up. And he quickly told you. You see now? You see now? So he believes he's better than you. He is going to Anglican. You are going to Pentecostal. But he that goes to Anglican, or he doesn't even go to any church at all, when they go, he has better character than you when they go to church. So Apostle Peter is saying, use your own lifestyle. And when he sees it, He will want to serve your God.
But you want me to be wearing trousers?
Eh?
You want me to be putting on trousers, be dressing like all those other girls?
That's what I'm saying. Because he has no regard for your faith. You have not given him reason to see you as a daughter of God. Okay? So you are to live a life that when he sees you, something around you will let him know you are not an ordinary woman. And he will bow later on. Not to be disobedient. Let your lifestyle convert your husband. Praise the Lord.
Good morning, Pastor.
God bless you.
So I would like to ask three brief questions. And the first one is, as a Christian, is it good for someone to go into courtship before marriage?
Sure.
And
is that your first question?
No, that's not all. And if you are to go into courtship, how long does it last? As in, how long should you hold in courtship as a Christian before getting married?
Maybe your other way of asking the question is it good to marry somebody you don't know?
No, when you met a lady.
I'm asking the reverse of your question. Okay. Your question is it good for a Christian to go into courtship before marrying?
Yes.
So I'm also asking you, is it good to marry somebody you don't know?
No.
Answer me.
No.
That is why there should be courtship. Thank you. And how long? As long and it's long enough that you can say, yes, I'm satisfied with what I have seen. I can live with him for the rest of my life. That is how long your courtship should last. And it should be reasonably long. Should be long enough to understand each other. Because you don't book down a girl and say it is courtship. 2 years pass, 3 years pass, 4 years pass, I will marry you. I will marry you. Kill her market for nothing. I don't believe in that. Thank you. To start with, if you fall in love with somebody, you can't wait to bring her home. That you are keeping her so long, it's evidence you don't love her. And something love does, drives you. You want to be with her every time. Without her, you are just half alive. You are dead. Anytime you don't see her, that is what will do, make you do everything. Including any list where they give you, you will pay extra upon that list to have her. God bless you.
So my second question is, as a father, is it good for you to marry a wife for your son?
Praise God. I will say yes and no. Yes, if you have a boy that cannot take a decision as a man, then you can help your son and make a decision for him. That means that son is not, something is wrong with him. If you know that your son cannot make a good decision for himself, you can help him to get him a wife, a good wife. Have I answered your question?
Yes, sir.
And I say yes or no. No, because it's not the father that will live with that woman. Even God himself stepped aside and said, any man that find a wife, findeth a good thing. So he left us to find. So that another man will not come and blame him like Adam blamed him. Say, now that woman, where you give me? Now he make me do this one. So from that day, God stepped aside. The man that findeth. So he just made sure that he blew plenty women. Many enough for you to select from. That's why women are more in number than men.
So my last question is, you read a verse in the Bible whereby you should not send your wife, a man should not send his wife away.
Yep.
But in this sense, whereby you cut your wife, you caught your wife doing immorality. And wait, I'm coming. You caught your wife defiling you. And should you send her away? Or maybe she intends killing you, even at that process when you find out. And you're so lucky by the grace of God, you're able to wave the way from it.
I think I've answered.
Yes, I want to know if finally she left your house, maybe you sent her away. If she comes back for forgiveness, should you bring her back?
I was coming to that. Listen, there is no offense that is not forgivable. There is no offense that is not forgivable. I'm only telling you scripturally the grounds for which if you divorce, you have not sinned. But a higher level of Christianity, one that is filled with agape love, charity, when that woman that you caught with another man comes to repent, just as we too offend God every day, and we come to Him to ask for forgiveness, and He forgives us. Whatever either the man or the woman commits against the other, and ask for forgiveness, and you see genuine repentance and remorse, the Christian spirit expects you to forgive. And this is the reason why you will also forgive. If the reason why you married her, the motivation, what pushed you to marry her was love. And the Bible says, love covereth multitude of sin. Love will make you forgive easily. So yes, if she comes back begging, if she doesn't come back begging, then she has to go the way it is written of her. And you pick yourself another wife.
Thank you, sir.
God bless you. It was handwriting on the wall. It was a sign.
Once you are stopped, forever you are stopped. Everything we receive from God is by faith.
Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord.
Spirit of delusion.
They told me it doesn't matter. It matters. There is yet another day. That is, His mercy is still available.
The trials of a Christian.
Christians face trials.
The God of this world cannot be our God, because we are in this world, but not of this world.
Yes, sister.
Yeah, good man, sir.
God bless you.
My question is concerned about a man who married two wives when he was unbeliever. Unbeliever. Then later repent. And the church where he's going, they now told him to put the second one apart and be marrying the first one. And because of that, the man said no, and they quit him from the church. Is it right or bad?
Oh, God bless you. Thank you for bringing that aspect. Somebody also sent us a text message from the East, somewhere from the East Nigeria here, and asked a similar question. And if it's watching us now, it's an opportunity to have your answer. See, the Bible made it clear. Listen, church. Listen. Made it clear that the things that we did in ignorance, God overlooked. That is the meaning of grace. I believe in restitution. Restitution is to make right a wrong you have done. But there are some wrong you have done that cannot be corrected. You have to live with it. One of it is marriage. If as an unbeliever, you marry four wives, you paid all their bride price, they have children for you, you are living happily, suddenly, you give your life to Christ. And a holiness preacher comes to tell you that you cannot go to heaven, that you are holding somebody else's wives. It's only the first one that you married that is your own. That the other three, they are not your own, they are somebody else. You should make restitution. Restitution means you will return them to the estate that you met them when you married them. That second woman, you met her 20 years ago. She has 4 or 5 children for you. She's the second wife. Now you are saying she's not your wife. It means she's somebody's wife, Abby. So you have to return her to the estate that made you to attracted you to her. If it is not possible, then that restitution also is not possible. Praise the Lord. Listen, church. Sister, listen. This teaching, blind pastors have used it and destroyed families. When people don't know God's process of salvation and the mystery of redemption, Gentile, once with your wicked heart, who have not experienced grace, want to use their carnal minds to talk about salvation. It's wrong. You cannot return that woman to the estate that she was. You have depreciated her value. Everything around her that stands has fallen. You have redesigned her and reshaped her. You have overspent her. You have taken away all the attractions that can bring a man to her. You have collected everything that is sweet from her. Then you say she's not your wife. Whose wife is she? Praise the Lord. Okay, what of the children? Whose children are they now? You will return those children back to the womb. Amen. That is not grace. The gospel came and met us Gentiles in various estates. The first thing that the gospel met us to do is put away our idols so that we can face the true living God. That is the one that you must put away when you come to Christ. Concerning marriage, now they are believers. Apostle Paul, in 1 Timothy chapter 3, said, a bishop, that is a pastor, a minister, must be husband of one wife. Why did he say? He said, he that desires the office of a bishop desires a good job. But he said, but before you can be a bishop, see the qualification. Among them is that you must be a husband of one wife. Ordinary reasoning, it means there are people sitting down in that congregation that have more than one wife. So he's telling you that if you have more than one wife, you cannot be a bishop. That is, you cannot be a pastor. You cannot be a minister. Also, a deacon. He said also, a deacon in that 1 Timothy chapter 3 must be a husband of one wife. It means a deacon also cannot be have more than, you know, one wife. If you are sitting down there and you have two wives, you cannot occupy these offices of leadership in the church. But they can all receive the Holy Ghost. And please, where we are going there, there is no marriage. When we go in the rapture, nobody, there will be no husband and wife there. Marriage ends here. In the rapture, we'll be like angels. Praise the Lord. So it's a wrong doctrine. And God sent his message to this age through that man William Branham, and he gave that general pardon and said, you that are already believers with more than one wife, and this was an American, thus said the Lord, he says, stay the way you are, but don't add anymore. And you that are two of you married one wife, you know, as believers, if you go and add any woman to the one you have now, you are also writing yourself straight to hellfire. That is the position of the scripture. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
God bless you, sir.
God bless you.
From Matthew 19, when Jesus Christ said that they should put away their wife because of fornication, the disciples said, if it's so, that it's no expedient for a man to marry. But he told them that some are made eunuchs.
Yes.
And some are eunuch by birth.
Yes.
Now some of these people that are eunuch by birth, and maybe they didn't know they're going to marry, you know, they can't have children. And then there'll be pressure on them from the families. So what do they do? Because I want to know, what is the purpose of marriage generally?
Verse 12, Matthew 19.
Yes, sir.
For there are some eunuchs which were so born from their mother's womb,
yes.
And there are some eunuchs which were made eunuchs of men,
yes.
And there be eunuchs which have made themselves eunuchs, yes. For the kingdom of heaven's sake.
Yes.
He that is able to receive it, let him receive it. So what's your question again?
The ones that are made eunuchs from birth.
Yes.
And now they go to marry. You know exactly that they can't have children.
Yes.
When we know what is meant by eunuchs.
Yes.
So how do they face the pressure of family and the others?
The same problem that even a man that is not a eunuch, but gets sterile. They call it no sperm count, zero sperm count. Or low sperm count, or for any reason cannot pregnant a woman, yet he achieves erection as a man, and all the pleasures of sex, he has it. The same question, how does he then have children? I said, in this modern day of scientific advancement in the area of medical, you know, I say, there are several means now that you can have children, even if you are in that condition.
So what I'm saying is that you know that are made from birth.
That is
how do the people know that they are eunuch before getting married? So that's the thing.
No, you because will know now, a man that is of age knows his sexual, sexual organs and knows how they are performing.
No, but as you said that they have erection and every other thing, but they are eunuch, but they wouldn't know.
No. Because a eunuch does not have pleasure in sex because everything pertaining to sexual pleasure is taken away. Even, I think we castrate dogs.
Yes.
Eh?
Mm-hmm.
We castrate dogs so that they have no pleasure for sex. Their testes are removed. And for a man not to have the ability to pass seed to a woman, he will know. And in this age, anyway, science has made it possible. Among the things, I know of a sister that I asked her, why are you not married? Why are you delaying your marriage? And he said, she told me a few days ago that The man that is going to marry her is rushing her. And she has told him there are some tests he will make first. Number one, he said he will bring his sperm count test to make sure, and then staphylococcus test, infection test, HIV test, and what do you call genotype test. And what is the other one? He said, he said he will have to do it first. Because, I mean, science has made it now that you don't have to start gambling. Look, and it doesn't cost anything to run these tests. So anybody that refuses to go and run these tests, you are willingly ignorant. I mean, being ignorant. Willingly. And whatever comes out of it, now you say, so a eunuch knows. And I advise all young men and women, while you are healthy now, go and do HIV test and know your HIV status. So that you begin to fight it if it is positive. Before it blows and destroys your immune system. Know your blood genotype. And when you are going out with a girl that you want to marry, don't just go and say God the same, because sometimes God can answer you according to your heart desire. Let the woman also go and do a genotype so that you don't waste one another's time. That is how it should be. Test and see. And sister, sometimes that the man, they pass infection to you after you don't marry. They say fallopian tube block the infection. Now the man, they pass and go give you. So let him test for staphylococcus and test for infection, gonorrhea, where they hide somewhere. He will see it and treat himself before coming to meet you. It is important. And you too, let the woman too go and test. Clean up yourself. You say, I am born again. Yes. But are you a virgin?
Sir, finally, sir. Sir, is marriage purposely for only for childbearing? That's all they want to know.
Purposely for childbearing?
Is it just only for that?
Number one, marriage is for companionship. Marriage is to enable us to fulfill. You are hearing me, sir? What is the first one I said?
Companionship.
Companionship. The second one is for procreation. So that we can fulfill the commandment, go and multiply and replenish. And what's the other, what do you call it? Helper, helpmeet. And so these are the purposes for marriage. But no man wants to stay without an offspring. And children are also an inheritance of the Lord. Children are also a blessing of the marriage. And everyone wants to leave behind offspring. So it is a very important part of marriage. And children also unite the parents together. Yes.
When this does not come, is it proper for a man to seek another wife?
If
the pressure, if the children did not come?
No, it's wrong. No, I've just told you now. That should not come up at all. There is no child of God without a child. None shall be barren among his children, male or female. When you see a couple that give up, it's the devil that's trying to tell them give up. It may delay, but you never give up. And I keep repeating. I said science has gone to the level now where there is solution to barrenness. God himself has allowed science to reach that level. So nobody should be without a child unless we choose to. Yes. have a question on the screen. From Spain, Luca from Spain. He said, why the Bible say except it be for fornication? Why not except it be for adultery for the married? Okay. Thank you, Luca. I have had that kind of question several times. I have also had preachers fighting themselves over that interpretation. When I have had a school that interprets that verse to mean the sin that she committed before marriage, that is fornication. If you discover that she was living in adultery or fornicating while she was single, because the word fornication is different from the word adultery. But church, listen. The word fornication, as it is used in the Bible, you have to interpret it within its context. It is talking about sexual sin. So to me, whether it is adultery or it is fornication, it is sexual sin. If you catch your wife with another man, you have caught her in fornication or you have caught her in adultery. It is the sexual sin. That is my understanding of that. God bless you. I don't believe it is a sin she committed while she was single. Yes.
Actually, sir, that was exactly the question I want to ask.
Uh-huh.
Secondly, I want to also ask, when we won't say that marriage is fully contracted, is it when the bride price has been paid or marriage, as in the vow itself?
Yes, thank you for asking that question also. The marriage is fully contracted when you have paid the bride price and the parents release the woman to the man. The marriage is fully contracted. But as tradition, Christian tradition demands, you will come before the servant of God and exchange your marriage vows. It is that vow that will guide your living together. And you must not downplay it. So, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 3, it said that you should commit your ways unto the Lord. Is that how you put it? And he shall
direct
your paths. Every one of us knows that when you are entering such a relationship, you must commit it to God. That's why we have the wedding. It's our tradition. You have finished, give to Caesar what is Caesar's. That is the traditional marriage. And give to God what is God's. That is coming to the altar. Now the problem we have is all the expenses that are involved. All the spending, the ceremonies with the what we call white wedding. That is where some people get scared over it. You have to buy certain clothes, you have to do what, and things like that. Now, the emphasis is the exchange of vows. There is no commandment in the Bible that says the woman must wear white clothes. There is no commandment in the Bible that says the man must wear English dress, even though he's an African, must wear suit. There is no commandment in the Bible that says you must go and make cake and make all the things they spend money to do. And here in this church, we have made it clear that once you are ready for us to bless your marriage and exchange your vows, we can do it. We do more even in the office than we do at the altar in this church. When they are ready, then we come, we go to the pastor's office, we call all the ministers, we call her witnesses, we call his witnesses. Right there, they exchange their vows in the office and the pastor pronounces them husband and wife in the name of the Lord. And we bless their rings, and they stand up, they go outside, they snap photographs to remember that day. They have waited fully. There's no commandment for that. But it is wrong for a Christian to just go after paying bride price, carry your wife, come home. Then when I don't chop chop tired, then when I go say, go for blessing. Don't come to me. I'm more revelated than that. Praise the Lord. When you pay bride price, don't live together until you jam at the altar here. It's from the altar here you go to your house. If you live together before coming here, I will ask you, is there any impediment? Now the thing why I want to ask me that, now the meaning be that. You don't know yourself. Now don't sleep together. At the altar now they ask, and God will use you to judge you. Any impediment? No. Impediment? No. And the angel they look. Let me together now the lips is. You are saying yeah, no. And sometimes the devil uses it to accuse that marriage and create problem in that marriage. That is why some marriages, after wedding, wahala will start. Because they defy themselves and came to the altar and lied. Christians, we have our own tradition. Give to Caesar what is Caesar, and give to the Lord what belongs to the Lord. God bless you.
Praise the Lord. In a situation whereby the marriage has been contracted and later on they find out that they were not compatible, not really that two of them were not seeing each other as not compatible, maybe one of them, and now decided to divorce in one reason or the other. Finally, the man in question or the woman in question refused. What will the person that wants to put on a divorce note do? Second, another one, sir. Is bride price refundable? Can it be refundable? Thank you, sir.
Praise the Lord. I think you are asking, is bride price refundable? It's another way of asking, can a Christian divorce? But when you say you don't do again, then you return the thing that brought the two of you together now. That is the evidence that you don't do again now. When you have agreed, we don't do again, for any reason it has to break. The next thing is to return the bride price so that you go use that one and go get yourself another one. Praise the Lord. What was the other one? You were saying something else.
Now you are saying
if for any reason they decide they are not compatible, and then the one says, you want me to go, lie your leg, my leg.
Yes,
I don't go. I go die with you. I say, what should that person do? Eh?
Yes, sir.
I'm talking to Christians. That means the person wants the marriage. So you will sit down again and redefine the terms for the marriage. If you want to stay, then you two must change. The thing that is making us to break the marriage, if it can be corrected, then let's correct it and stay, since you don't want to break. The other aspect is the legal side of it. But we are not looking at the law. We are looking at the Christian faith. If we are to talk about the law, if she refuses to go, then you will go to court. And the court will order her to pack out of your house.
Finally, sir.
Yes.
I want to take our mind back to a story concerning Mary Magdalene. I think she should be the one. The that was found on the act of adultery. Is it Mary Magdalene?
Was it Mary? They say a woman. They didn't mention the name.
I think it's Mary Magdalene.
Okay, whoever, what's your question?
Sir, the question was when those people were asking Jesus what should be done on her, I strongly believe that Jesus did not condemn her. And for that, I see that there is no reason for divorce. Thank you, sir.
No, you have to understand that story very well. You see, when you want to make reference to a story, make sure you get the story very well. Listen. The question there was not divorce. The question there is applying the law to somebody caught in adultery. It's to kill her. They came with stones. According to the law, if you catch anybody in adultery, what are you supposed to do? Stone her. Now they came to Jesus, who is preaching grace and love. Let's see how you will do now concerning this one now. This one, Korokoro, we caught her in adultery. And Jesus said, no problem. If there's any of you here that has never committed the sin she has committed, you be the first to stone her. The Bible says, before when he said that, he started writing something on the floor. Now, I believe what he was writing was naming one of them, designing them. You slept with the girl the other day. You slept this one. You slept this one. You think nobody knows. God saw you. Oh yeah. Who will first stop? Stone. Before he raised up, all of them don't disappear. And he asked the woman, where are the accusers? Amen. So he said they have gone. He said, so he said, for it came that we might have life. He didn't come to destroy her. Praise the Lord. Remember, he met another woman at the well who married and remarried and remarried and remarried. The one now that we were living with is even her fourth husband. He didn't condemn her. It is for such people that he came that they might repent. Praise the Lord. And those, he was using it to teach those who think they are holier than anything. Let me tell you something. I use that to talk to the men. The reason why, if you catch your wife in adultery, some of us, you can forgive very easily, is because you will remember that you too, you have slept with another woman. That is what you will consider before you pass judgment on her. She sleep with one. You don't sleep. You don't sleep even for your office. You don't sleep with her every time. So if you are conscious, you will forgive her. If she say, forgive me. So what he's trying to say is, all of you who claim holy, 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 holding on to the law of Moses, he said, listen now, fornication, say, if you look at a woman and lust after her in your heart, you're already guilty of adultery. So that he makes sure he condemns everybody so that we shall see the need for grace. And stop feeling holier than another person. That is that teaching from that story. God bless you. Okay, another one on Skype from Sokoto. Chukwelu. Can a Christian adopt a child? Nothing wrong with it. If you see a child that needs help, and you can offer that help to that child, would you adopt the child if you can take care of the child? No problem with it. It's a charity work. Praise the Lord. There is, and it's not just because you are looking for a child. One of these wealthy men, Jimo Ibrahim, one of the business moguls in Nigeria. I was reading an interview he had. He has so many children. He said he had other, apart from his own children, he said he has other four or more, or three or more ones that he adopted from motherless homes. He said he just wanted also to contribute to that field, to give an offer for a motherless somebody hope. So he said he has the biological one, how many of them? And then the ones he adopted. So there's nothing wrong in it. You are helping government. Yes?
So my question is, if you love a woman, if you marry a woman and love her with Christian love, that is love that counts no error, then you feel that you are following the will of God. And you find that woman moving with one other person, and is maybe a bank manager, is more buoyant than you are, then you tell that your wife to leave that man. And the woman says that that man is her schoolmate. And instead of her to leave that man, she will leave you. Then, because you have the heart to forgive, you go and report her to a man of God. And that man of God invites her.
Sorry, sir. Your question is very simple. If you catch your wife having an affair with another man.
Yes.
That's your question. What should you do? That's your question now. You catch your wife having an affair with another man and she's refusing to own up. She's instead threatening to leave you for that man.
Yes.
What should you do?
Yes.
That means she doesn't love you. The Bible in Matthew chapter 19 says, you can let her go.
Okay. Then lastly, you find out that the woman is a woman dedicated to an idol. She knew of this thing but did not tell you. So immediately you married her. That is from the beginning you started having the trouble. So as at this moment, if she is not with you, but people has asked her why she left you. She left on her own, no? And they are asking
we are dealing with Christian situation.
Yes, sir.
You married her as a Christian?
Yes.
She was also a Christian?
Yeah, we were all in the same church.
Now that she is in Christ,
yes.
All things are passed away. She cannot be dedicated to Christ. And you'll still be talking to her about dedication to some deity somewhere. When she came into Christ, the link between she and that deity automatically broke. So there is no need anymore for her to tell you that she was dedicated to anything. All of us here would belong somewhere before we came to Christ.
Excuse me, sir.
Our problem is we should be concerned with now that we are Christians. Now that we are Christians, things that she should confess does not include any idol she was serving before. It doesn't, because coming to Christ has cut her off from those idols. Except now that she's a Christian, you catch her still doing some mami water things.
Mm-hmm.
Eh? So it means she deceived you that she's a Christian. Meanwhile, she's a mami water worshiper. I think that is why you should be worried.
Yeah, the reason why I'm asking this thing is, if you find out that it's that a deity that has been causing all the problems in your family, then what do you do? Because you knew and did not tell you.
Are you a Christian? No, I'm talking to you as a Christian.
Yes, sir.
You go with a higher power and drive that deity away from your wife. Take her for deliverance. Simple.
But the first two has declared what to do with her.
Eh?
The first two questions has declared what to do with her.
Is it the same woman?
Yes, the same woman.
God bless you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
A question Nkechi from River State, Nigeria. Pastor, I have a husband. We wedded in the bride church, Ahoda, River State. But he stopped going to church after our marriage. Unknown to me, he was covenanted to a marine spirit, and now the spirit is tormenting the family. Still, he refuses to go for deliverance. What should I do? My sister, praise God. I know your pastor at the Ahoda church. I know him very well. And I know that he will have counseled you to pray and keep praying. If you met in Christ and you discover that the spirit tormenting him has eventually driven him away from church, but he still loves you and stay with you, only that spirit is tormenting you, then I believe with prayers that nonsense will leave the family alone. It's true. That is not marriage in deceit. You married in the Lord. He stopped going to church because of the effect of that demon. Yes, there are believers that get yoked to demons that are dormant now in their activities. But as soon as you marry, they start action. Because you must not progress. You must not marry. They want to marry you. Once they start like that, please go for deliverance. And please, if your church at the Horda cannot conduct deliverance for you, you are watching us now, join our deliverance program or travel here for our December camp. You will not go back with that demon in the name of Jesus Christ. God bless you.
There is power mighty in the blood.
Are you suffering from spiritual husband or wife?
There is power.
Are you facing frustration and rejection? Is your spiritual life stagnant?
Jesus Christ.
How have you been baptized? Do you know if really your sins are remitted? Join us every Tuesday as we teach on true water baptism.
When Jesus Christ said, go and baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, He is telling you, go and baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus.
Pure water ministration for your healing and deliverance.
We plead the blood of Jesus. Father, let the blood that was shed on the cross on Calvary speak for our healing and deliverance this afternoon in the name of Jesus. We invoke that power that was released on the cross on Calvary into this water for our healing and deliverance in the name of Jesus Christ. Use this water and root out every infirmity in the name of Jesus Christ. As you drink this water, life will be restored in the name of Jesus.
One-on-one counseling with the prophet. Join Pastor Moses Alu and other anointed ministers.
By the grace of God upon my life, I, Pastor Moses Alu, I lose you in the name of Jesus Christ.
Shalom.
Yes, sister.
Good morning, sir. Sir, I have two questions to ask.
Yes.
One is that you married to a man, and when your mother died, your mother best friend snatched your husband away, and after 16 years, the man is coming back to beg you, and you did not marry another man. Will you go back to the same man, and he's still living with the woman?
He wants you to be the second wife.
As a first wife,
you are the first, but he put you away, then the other one became first.
Yeah, that
the first shall be the last. The last shall be the first. So you're asking us, should you go back?
To the man.
To the man.
No, you just stay on your own.
You know, you married as Christians?
Yeah, they wedded in church.
You know, if you wedded in church, are you the one?
No, my father and his elder in his church.
Praise the Lord. All along, you know, she believed one day that the man will come back. That's why she didn't remarry. So her prayer has been answered now. So she will go back. What has happened. The man will face himself between him and God. They will face it. But I also believe that when you see that man coming back to you, it means his eye has opened and he wants to break that thing from that woman to come back to his wife. Sometimes he's coming like that in case he never drive that one here. If you agree, then he will go and tell her and say, I beg, I want to go back to my wife. And if you don't agree, then you say, make her hold him away again. Sometimes, you know, unbelievers, the way they think. But I feel that in such a situation, she should forgive him. And that she has. She don't enter. Thank you.
So my question is that this issue of marriage in this seat, did it occur during our Lord Jesus Christ's earthly ministry? The issue of marriage in deceit.
Okay.
Such cases, does it occur during our Lord Jesus Christ's earthly ministry?
The Lord Jesus Christ was
While he was on earth, he was operating under the law. Grace began after he resurrected, ascended, and the church was inaugurated on the day of Pentecost. That is when the New Testament church began. And that is when all we are teaching became applicable. Thank you.
Why I ask the question is that because of the scriptures. Like as you make reference to the woman that has, if man who married two wives, can he divorce one or something like that? And you make reference with the issue of deacon and the bishop.
Yes.
So, and according to the book of Matthew, chapter 19, how it was written that the Pharisees, they asked a question. Is it lawful for any man to divorce a wife for any reason? Which I believe the issue of managing the seeds was included. Because when I was studying all these things about divorce, so the children of Israel at that time, the Pharisees, they were divorcing for many reasons. They were just divorcing for many reasons. That was why the issue of...
Can I ask you a question?
Okay.
You have children?
Yes, sir.
If a young man comes to marry your daughter and presents himself as a responsible man, and shortly after he marries your daughter, which you consented to, you discover that he's an armed robber. He's a ritualist. Even attempting to use your daughter for ritual. Will you say, the Bible say, you should remain? You must remain there. Be sincere. Answer me.
No, the thing is that there's nobody who can accept that.
Now, why do you think God will accept it for his children? I'm trying to tell you something, brother. There is the spoken word of God, and there's the written word of God. And that the church is progressing, and Satan too is progressing. That Satan disguises as an angel of light, and that he can plant his people here called tares with the sole purpose of disturbing the real seed. Since children of God believe all things, they can come and disguise. If later on it is found out that it was a marriage in deceit, you deceived that person to marry him, to marry her, and later on you begin to change and to make life unbearable for that person, are you saying that Bible says he should suffer like that? Even though we all know what happened, that got that person to that relationship. So when you want to interpret scripture, when it says, can a man put away his wife for any reason, you are saying any means it includes even deceit. I said it means it does not include deceit. Because remember, it is in the law. And in the law there, there is no need for deceit. He said, once you don't like her anymore, under any reason, it could be that you just see another girl, you want to marry, you want to replace her. There's no feeling again for her. You are allowed to put her away. The Bible made provision for it. Because if you don't do it, the man will maltreat her. So who could give her and let her go? That is what Jesus Christ was addressing.
So another question is, I want you to enlighten me more on the book of Act of 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 29. That I don't know, ladies stream it. 1 Corinthians chapter 7.
1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 20. 7:29.
Yes.
Yes.
But this I say, brethren, the time is short. It remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they had none. So I want more clearer interpretation for me to understand it very well.
Listen, okay. Because it's not talking only about marriage. But this I say, brethren, the time is short.
is talking about time for the rapture.
Okay.
It remained that both they that have wives be as though they have none, and they that weep as though they weep not, they wept not, and they that rejoice as though they rejoice not, and they that buy as though they possess not, and they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passeth away. Now then he said, but I will have you without carefulness, he that is unmarried. That is why he said, you be as if you are not married. That you should not. That all he's trying to bring out here is that let the time now has come where we should not be bothering ourselves about marriage. Our home going is near. As at that time. So he said here, the reason he said it is verse 32. But I will have you without carefulness, he that is unmarried, caring for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he that is married, caring for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. What he's saying is that those who are single, they have more time to serve the Lord than those who are married, because they also have to create some of that time for their families. But he's saying that instead of bothering yourself about marriage, because remember he was answering questions. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 was question he was answering like I am answering now. And he was telling them, don't look, rather make your calling and election sure. Time is too short for you people to be talking about marriage. Those who are married, even now, live as if you are not even married. Let pay attention to your eternal destination. That's what he was saying. Yes.
Praise the Lord. There's a problem in my family now. And the wife of my brother called me 4 days ago. So it's as if this program is meant for me. She called me on phone that my senior brother told him that he's having children outside the family, 2 children. So she called me, I should come to his house at her house. So I went there. She, after narrating everything to me, she said she wants to leave the husband. So I start pleading on my brother's behalf that he should wait for the husband to come back from Lokoja, that he should not go away, and he should hear more from him. She said no, that she has already packed all her things, that I should go inside and check, that she wants to leave the husband. But for 10 years now, she hasn't told her that she's having children outside. So I let her know, I preached to her for forgiveness. She insisted that one is not, she cannot forgive him. So I was telling her that there is no sin on this earth that we have committed.
What's your question?
So my question now is, she still insisted that she's not going to forgive the husband, that she wants to leave.
Is it the husband that confessed to her?
Yes.
That he has 2 children outside?
Yes. After 10 years.
Is she a Christian?
Both of them go to different churches.
They are Christians.
Yeah, they are Christians.
Eh?
Yes.
They are Christians.
Yes.
Let me tell you something, church. Praise the Lord. Now your sister, she's a mumu.
She's my brother's wife.
Oh, now your brother do that bad thing. Listen. See, there is something that we learn from evil unbelievers. We that claim to be Christians. Listen. There's somebody that is watching me now from abroad. That we had a meeting, Pastor Thomas, Pastor Francis, concerning his matter. Listen, he married a white woman for the purpose of, listen, I have a reason for saying this, for the purpose of getting his papers. And he married her and got his papers. But after all this, now he has given his life to Christ. But he does not love the woman. All he needed her for was to get the papers. Now he wants to now marry the kind of woman he wants. He met me when I traveled to Europe. I told him, wait, let me go and hold a meeting over this your matter. It's a serious matter. I've never been confronted with that issue before. But when we are looking at it, five pastors held a meeting over it. But suddenly something came to my mind that settled the matter. I have a cousin in Europe that married a woman that you can see that is like his mother in age. Now, they have been together for the past 18 years. They don't have issue. And when I met him, I asked him, when I traveled to Europe, he came over to see me. I was asking him, "You are still with this woman?" He said, "Oh, look, peace. Oh, I'm enjoying my marriage. A wonderful, wonderful marriage. We are enjoying ourselves." And then there's something he said. He said that it is through this woman that I have my stay here in Europe. And when I had nothing, it is this woman that took care of me. And when the police were driving, he jumped through window. When they said there is a foreigner here, he jumped through window. It was in her father's farm. He stayed for 3 months. She was bringing food every day in the farm. He said, "No matter what, I will not leave this woman." He is not a Christian. That's what I want you to know. I was saying that if an unbeliever can have that type of conscience, not to use a woman and dump her because she cannot give him children or she's old, everybody is laughing at him, how much more we that are Christians? That was what I called him, and I said, "God will judge you if you dump that woman. Because you are not finding fault. If she packs and goes on her own, thank God. But you cannot drive her." He's listening to me now. Praise the Lord. What I'm saying is this. I have another example for your own case. I have a very close friend that had an issue outside. I knew it because we are so close. Anything that happened, he tells me. Even when the woman came and said, "Gebele," he told me, "See why you're here again? Not only once." He said that day he was drunk. My wife knows who I'm talking about. And he said, and the woman took him. The woman was using that child because my friend did not want his wife to know about it. There will be trouble, his fear. But that woman used it, squeezed millions out of him every year. And the little thing, he would threaten. I bring the girl. He trained that girl up to she was, almost SS1 or so. When one day he called me, he said, "I'm going to confess to my wife. Leave her, don't torment me too much." The family were here in Lagos. He was serving in Jos, was a military officer. He flew down to Lagos, told his wife, "Please get ready, I am coming." The wife said, "What happened?" Say, "There is something I want to tell you." He flew down. According to him, he's a very funny man. According to him, he said, when he landed, he told his wife, "Come and sit down." He brought out his pistol. He said he told her, according to him, he said he cocked the pistol. He said, "Once you just press here, back up, you can shoot. When I tell you what I want to tell you, you are free, you can kill me." He said, "If you don't kill me, then I know you love me. I have a confession." I was asking him, he said, that when he opened up and told, I said, "I did that pistol." If he said she moved her hand. If he said she moved her hand, he was taking no say, "He be so German, can't touch it." Anyway, that's an unbeliever. He said, "Look, for the past 10 years or 12 years or something like that, something. He said, see what happened, see what happened, see what happened. The woman cried. Cried there. When he finished, he said, just promise me in the name of the Lord that you will not do it again. He said, that's why I'm confessing. If I do it again, make her die. And she said, but why have you, this is what she said, why have you been tormenting yourself and living in all this torment all these years? You should have told me. Sorry, she was still young. Sorry, she was about 7 years old. I'm sorry. The child was 7 years old. Why have you been suffering yourself for the past 7 years? In her own advice, that she said, let's go and bring the child home. They planned. She took money, ran to the market, bought clothes because the girl and the mother, they were living in their grandmother's house. Bought clothes. And that very day, they drove straight to the house. And when they went, the woman went there, the wife went to the grandmother and knelt down. Mama, thank you very much for taking care of our daughter. And turned to the mother and said, please, thank you very much for taking care of our daughter. He said, see the gift I brought for you. See the gift I brought for you. He said, we have come to take her home. Praise the Lord. If those people can do like that, your own sister-in-law, sister-in-law, your brother-wife,
sister-in-law,
should learn something from this. Why can't we learn from what other people are doing? Listen, church. Woman, listen. If a man decides to be a womanizer, there is nothing any woman can do to stop him. Only prayer. If you go violent, he will say, I think that because you catch me now, you do. Okay. You're not going to catch me again. You will go smarter now. You can't stop him. And the fact that he came to confess, it means he wants to be free. He has been feeling guilty over it. She should forgive him and ask him to bring those children home. And she should accept those children as her own children.
Sir, for now, she's telling me, she told me the day before yesterday that
if she pack and go, another woman will come in.
She has agreed
so
to stay.
So who will lose?
She agreed to stay now because I was telling her that if you go away, that woman will
okay,
come.
Okay, so.
But my brother now is asking me a question like that. I was blaming him for that, but he didn't tell anybody in the family. He's asking me a question like that. What did I want him to do?
He should continue to beg her.
I said he should continue to beg her. And he was telling me that if first the wife pushed him to do it. And the wife is telling me that.
Nobody should justify evil.
I said I'm not in position to judge anyone. But the wife is telling me that if I make any mistake to bring those children in, because I'm the only sister left to him now, that she said it in Yoruba that that means if you want to enjoy your children, that you should not bring those children. She is telling me that I should not bring those children
anyway,
in.
Sister, I know I'm here not to settle family issue, but to tell you what the Bible expects us.
Please, sir, just a question I want to ask.
Forgive.
What do I tell my brother now? Because I'm not preaching to him to change his way.
He's a sinner. He's a sinner.
Yes. He is asking me now that.
He's a sinner. He's a sinner. He should repent.
He should repent
and ask God to forgive him.
Yes, that's what
I told. Ask the woman to forgive. If that woman sees true evidence of repentance, she will forgive him.
Okay.
It's very hot. It hurts her to see that she trusted a man and the man betrayed that trust. It's very painful.
Okay.
And then to go and have children outside, that means there are other women that are sharing their affection. No wonder. She'll begin to think, is that why? No wonder. Her hair goes scattered. Right now, she's hot. She's very, very hot. And she should do everything. You know, one of the things you can do is can get her a visa. They should travel out, you know, for a holiday. It should just spoil her, you know. Just go her, buy her a new car. And, you know, just do everything to show that you are sorry, and you will never do it again. Okay. That's all. Go out, travel, go to Dubai. Spend money lavishly on her. Then make her signatory to your account, and you know that kind of thing. Eh? Go tell her what you talk. Praise the Lord. Can we clap our hands for Jesus? Okay, another question. Shalom, sir. If a man that has been happily married for many years suddenly discovered that two out of his four children are not his biological children, what should he do? Child. Hallelujah. What should he do? He should return them to their fathers. The woman should confess where she got them from. She is an adulteress. Let her confess. She is being unfaithful, bringing other people's children to you to take care of. Let them know who their fathers are and return them. God bless you, but that is also not a Christian condition. Please stop smuggling unbelievers' question problem to our question and answer. God bless you. If you have been blessed this evening, can you clap your hands for Jesus? Can you stand up and clap your hand for him? Can you stand up and clap your hand if you are happy? Let heaven hear your hand. If you want to have a successful marriage, can you clap your hands? I say you want to have a successful marriage, can you clap your hands? Hallelujah. Turn to your neighbor and say you must have a successful marriage. Tell four people around you. Say it and mean it. Say it and mean it. You must have a successful marriage.